thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Jean Fisher-Brinkley. In mid-March, just days before its regularly scheduled board meeting, the North Carolina Medical Board closed its offices to visitors. Virtually all staff transitioned almost overnight to full-time work from home. The board meeting went forward with a shortened schedule, handling critical business only. In-person interviews with licensees or license applicants were canceled. And while board members attended that March meeting in person, most staff listened in by telephone. At the time, just like everyone else, the medical board really had no idea how long the coronavirus pandemic would last. But within a few weeks, it became clear that we wouldn't be going back to normal anytime soon, which left the board in a tricky situation. For the most part, medical board staff found that they could, in fact, do most or all of their work remotely. But how could we pull off a board meeting? The board meeting is the main event, the show. Many aspects of the board's work simply cannot move forward without the board meeting. It's where decisions are made about how to proceed in disciplinary and licensing cases. It's when board members sit down for confidential interviews with licensees under investigation or license applicants, and some of these folks travel great distances to meet. There are policy meetings, presentations from outside groups, training for board members and staff, and the list goes on. It is a complex, multi-day event that can easily involve more than 100 people. At the time, public gatherings were limited, as they are now, in fact, to no more than 10 people. So in late April, the medical board decided that its May meeting would be its first ever 100% virtual board meeting. In this episode of Med Board Matters, we are going to talk about our experiences presenting virtual meetings and share details on how you can listen in. I've asked Todd Brocious, one of the medical board's senior attorneys and chair of our virtual board meeting work group, to help me out. But first, I'm going to go over some board meeting basics in a segment we call the 2-Minute Drill. When are board meetings held? The board meets every other month in the odd-numbered months, so in January, March, May, and so on. And usually, the board meeting is held in the third or fourth week of the month. Meetings are typically scheduled over 2.5 days, opening on a Wednesday morning and adjourning by Friday around lunchtime. Are board meetings required to be open to the public? Yes, they are. There are some important exceptions, but the medical board is a public body and is therefore subject to the state's open meetings law. That means we have to publish the dates of our meetings, and we have to post meeting agendas that give a general description of the business that will be discussed. It also means that members of the public are free to attend or listen in to portions of the meeting that are considered public under North Carolina law. So what parts of the meeting are not open? As I mentioned, there are some important exceptions to the open meetings law. Complaint information and investigative information are both confidential, for example. So is certain licensing information. Any matter that involves a specific individual, a license application or an enforcement case, for example, is going to be confidential. So if you attend a board meeting, you are not going to be able to listen in to discussions about disciplinary cases, no matter how interesting they may be. What is open to the public? Many board committees have at least some open session agenda items. Discussions about rules or policies are typically open to the public. So is the board's committee on outreach. Other examples of agenda items that are typically public are the diversity work group and, new this year, the work group on clinician burnout. It will always be clearly indicated on the meeting agenda if agenda items are open or closed. Can members of the public ask questions at board meetings? Yes, they can. Members of the public are allowed to ask questions or to offer comments as long as they limit their remarks to items that are on the meeting agenda. I'll say a little bit more about how to participate in a board meeting a little later in the episode. Now, let's hear more about how the virtual board meeting came together. Well, Todd, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Sure, thank you.
And now, as I recall, you were asked to chair the virtual work group and asked to present a 100% virtual board meeting in May with less than 3 weeks' notice. What were some of the first steps that you took to pull that off?
So the first thing we had to do was get accustomed to the software that we're using. And in the case of the virtual work group, we had experimented previously with some other softwares. And then what we settled on with the IT team was the MS Teams software, basically for its security reasons. It provided us with some assurances that we'd have confidentiality. The board deals with a lot of sensitive information in these interviews. The next step to that was figuring out who has any idea how to use MS Teams. My first MS Teams meeting was the first time that we got together in the virtual work group. So I was clearly not the expert. Actually, fortunately, we have the producer of our podcast here today, Sylvia French Hodges, was an expert and had quickly gotten up to speed on how to use MS Teams. So we followed Sylvia's guide the first couple of days in terms of how to go about setting up meetings. We ended up spending, there were eight of us on the work group at that time. We spent a lot of time kicking the tires on the software, making sure we had some mastery of it, figuring out what it could do and what it couldn't do, what its limitations were. And then at that point, we needed to sit down and figure out, okay, what's this meeting going to look like? And fortunately, the May meeting was a little streamlined, so there wasn't quite as much board business to deal with there. But we wanted to figure out, you know, really the people that needed to be involved, the committees that were going to take place, and documents that had to be involved, and sort of try and target what we were doing to the strengths of MS Teams and try to structure things away from the limitations of MS Teams. And then sort of in follow-up to that, we had a really good group. I will say one of the things that was one of the best benefits for our virtual work group is we have a real diversity of people within the organization. There's someone from almost every department at the board. So people had a lot of different visibility. They had different skill sets. And so once we kind of figured out what we wanted to do or how we were going to go about doing it, then we kind of really pretty easily fell into our roles within the virtual work group. It's a very, everyone is very detail oriented. And so then we started putting ourselves into places to manage that, the virtual board meeting. And that was really, you know, I think we started like 2 weeks before the board meeting, and it was, you know, I'm still sort of surprised that we got it done, but it was just because everyone really went at it really hard. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And that's actually, I was going to ask you. So in your view, how did that first meeting go?
So it went much better than expected. So I will say that, you know, I had a pit in my stomach as we started the board meeting, you know, that Wednesday morning. Like, is this really all going to go off? And then sure enough, it did. It wasn't, that's not to say that it was without hiccups. You know, there are little things that happen here and there, but, you know, our goal all along was, you know, can we get the board's business completed? And that happened. So from that, that criteria, it was definitely a success. And, you know, it was a new experience for everybody. So it was, we learned a lot from that board meeting. And so, you know, in addition to getting the board's work done, we felt like we were better prepared to go into the next board meeting after that.
And of course, you know, the board has now presented three virtual board meetings. You had May, July, and then September, and you're getting ready to go into a fourth for November. Can you give some perspective on how things have changed over time as you've refined things?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the first board meeting is, you know, was, I think anyone who was listening to this podcast went through the same experience in one fashion or another, getting used to, you know, muting yourself and unmuting yourself and so forth. And so, you know, over the course of the last three board meetings, you know, probably the biggest change has just been everybody's comfort with a virtual meeting in general. And so organizationally, our board members are more comfortable with it. The staff members are more comfortable with it. And frankly, our, you know, people who come in and make presentations to the board from the outside are much more facile at doing this now. So it's that has been probably the biggest change. from our work group perspective, we've now started to develop a little bit of a system. You know, anytime you start get more repetitions at doing something, things start to fall into place a little bit better. So I feel like now we have kind of the board meetings are 2 months apart, and we've got about a 2 month system in place where we can plan out and get ready for the next board meeting.
Great. Now, I have participated in all of the virtual board meetings as a staff member, and I have to say, from where I sit, I think your team has done a great job. I know, though, that it's not as simple as you all make it look, and I wondered if you could walk me through the process for planning a virtual board meeting.
Yeah, sure. So usually after a board meeting's over, we all take about a week of decompression, and then we get ready to come back. Actually, we usually meet at the beginning just to figure out what went right and what went wrong in the previous board meeting. If there's any areas we can improve upon, we want to record those right after the board meeting because they can get lost after time. But then we sit down, we look at every board meeting is a little bit different in terms of what board business needs to get completed. We have outside presentations from different groups, different organizations that come in, and the committee meetings themselves can be a little different. So we have to figure out is a committee meeting going to be an open session or closed session? Is there going to be any additional people who need to be invited to that meeting? So we try to get what the components of the board meeting are going to be. And then we start at that point, start putting together an agenda. And we have a pretty comprehensive spreadsheet that lists each committee, all the people who are involved. And that gives us the structure for the board meeting. And so once we've got that plan in place, the next portion is really, and I can't emphasize this part enough, is testing with anybody who is not part of your organization before bringing them in. If there was one thing I would pound away at for anybody thinking about doing this down the road, is anyone outside of your organization, you should really try to test and make sure you get them in, because you don't want to be doing that on the day of the board meeting.
Yes.
You don't want, 10 people in a committee meeting waiting for one person to be able to get onto the platform. So, and we've accomplished that. One of the parts of our board meetings are interviews, investigative interviews and licensing interviews. And so each one of those interviews is somebody from outside the organization who has to come in and be able to interact with the board members. We got them done the first time. The second board meeting in July, we actually had more interviews than we typically have in a regular board meeting. And to this point, and I'm knocking on wood as we speak, all of those interviews have been completed. We have not had an interview that went awry. And I think that the main reason for that is that we have tested in advance and made sure that people could get on and communicate with the board.
Well, that's great to hear. So you said something that triggered a question, which was that, that first meeting, you did, in fact, do virtual interviews.
We did. That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay. I did not realize that. That's great.
It was not as many, but there were a couple interviews that took place in that first one. But then there was that May meeting, where things were a little bit streamlined because we were getting into this for the first time. The July meeting was almost a double. I mean, we did more than we typically do in a board meeting because we were playing a little bit of catch up with the agendas from different
committees. Because some had been postponed.
Postponed. Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, great. So I wondered if you could sort of talk about what have been some of the most difficult challenges that you've had to overcome in doing these virtual meetings.
I would say, probably the biggest challenge it applies to me personally, but it applies organizationally as well. And that is kind of backing up your planning for a board meeting, allowing additional time and taking a time out and thinking about, okay, who needs to be here? And are there any documents I need to have? Because, in a traditional board meeting, what we would be doing, some of that stuff can happen last minute. You can print something out on your computer and walk down to the boardroom and present it to the board, with 5-10 minutes notice. It's very difficult to do that virtually now. If people are not invited who need to be there, that presents additional challenges. So I'd say the biggest challenge is just for everyone needs to back up their planning, and they need to be thinking ahead towards the board meeting at an earlier juncture. It's not that they have to think more about it, but they have to think about it so that there can be some planning involved. The a challenge that was there at first, I think I mentioned, with, you know, with the muting of mics and unmuting. You know, I heard a joke the other day where somebody said, you know, can you sum up 2020 in 5 words? And I think the comment was, Dave, you're on mute. And so that is, I think, a symptom of what, you know, we're all doing with virtual board meetings. I think, you know, but I will say the first board meeting, I found myself sort of walking along like some sort of guard. And if I heard any stray noises coming out of any particular line, I'd mute them immediately. And I don't have to do that anymore. Everyone just mutes themselves automatically now. And for the most part, people remember to unmute, you know, when they're coming back online. Although we do still get the occasional, you know, Dave, you're on mute right now.
Right. So. Right. Okay. Well, a little while ago, you mentioned the importance of testing. And I think that is great advice. But I wondered if you had any other tips or tricks that you would recommend for organizations or maybe even other regulatory boards that hold public meetings virtually or that are looking at doing that.
Yeah, I think I will say that I have found that our work group format is particularly helpful. And the way, you know, I was not the person who set up the work group, but actually, to be honest with you, I'm not sure how it was that our work group got picked and the personalities that got picked, but it was very fortuitous, whatever it was. You know, having a group of people who are spread out throughout your organization allows for you to have some awareness and interaction with the different parts of your organization in a different way that I think is easy to bring it back into a central fold and then try to structure that meeting. The tip I would have for anybody, and I have to, you know, I try to say this to myself as a mantra before the board meetings, is kind of focus on what you can control. When you're having a virtual meeting, you have no control over that licensee's Wi-Fi on that particular day. You're going to have some hiccups and some things won't go exactly as planned, but usually there's a workaround. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of, instead of them being available through audio visual, they can call in and be available through audio. But if you're patient, I think that generally that will, you can find a way to get the business of that particular meeting done. And then I guess the last thing I would just say is just sort of, from an organizational standpoint, is be nice to each other. Everyone is working hard to get it done. Everyone wants the board's work to get done. Everybody who's there, if they're having Wi-Fi trouble, I guarantee you they are the people who are most concerned about that at the moment, and they're probably having a moment of panic. And I will say we've been blessed. I mean, without exception, we've had people who have been patient as we've been working through this, and I think it makes the tenor and the tone of the meeting much improved, and I think it actually aids in getting things done.
Yeah. I think those are words to live by. Be nice. Well, Todd, thank you so much again for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. This was fun. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks again. If you have stuck with us this long, I'll bet you are just dying to hear how you can listen in to a real live board meeting. And you're in luck. There's one coming up on Wednesday, November the 18th. And it's pretty simple. You will need to visit the board's website at ncmedboard.org to see the meeting agenda. You can find it in the About the Board section of the website under Board Meetings. The agenda is usually posted at least a week before the meeting, and I happen to know it's there now. In order to listen in to the live sessions, you will need information to access each individual committee that has open session agenda items. This information is not posted until a day or two before the meeting. You'll see a link at the top of the agenda. Click on it to open a document with all the access information. If you're sitting at a computer when it's time for the session you're interested in, just click on the link in that document to go to the live session. If you have a question for the board, you can use the chat feature to submit your comment. Again, only comments that address a topic that's on the agenda will be passed on to the board. If you're on a phone, you can dial in with the telephone number provided to just listen in. Well, that's all I have for you this time. Thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments about this episode, please email them to me at podcast@ncmedboard.org. This podcast is produced by the North Carolina Medical Board.
The North Carolina Medical Board exists for the benefit and the protection of the people of North Carolina.